Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
This week, we're going to talk about the situation regarding the Saudi Arabia pay-per-view event, Crown Jewel, coming up in a few weeks, and SmackDown 1000 is this week. Mike and I have some favorite moments and the list of top stars that was released by WWE. It mildly offends me. Each week, you can listen to the Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app while you're there. Check out all of the original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. All of our podcasts are also available in the Apple Podcasts and Google Podcast stores. Mike, I'm starting with a pleasantry today. How are you?
I'm well, Jimmy. In fact, before we get into the whole episode, we should really thank WWE Hall of Famer Jimmy Hart for taking time out of his schedule to chat with you and I this past week and do a outstanding episode here for Wrestling Inside the Ropes. I thought it went very well. We got some good feedback on that.
Yeah, we did get some good feedback, and Jimmy Hart is one of the nicer people that I think I've ever encountered. Mm-hmm. And his meet and greet, I got there early. I saw some of our fans who were nice enough to say hello. Jimmy was great.
Yep.
He did an appearance at the Kowloon.
Good time.
I hope that a lot of people came out there. I was kind of in and out. I was happy. I was happy we get the chance to talk to him.
Yeah, real good guy. And thank you again, Jimmy, if you're listening. And I really appreciate you doing that for us.
So I'm battling some type of sore throat cold gimmick. Generally well. Thank you for asking, Mike. So if my energy's off a little bit, that's kind of my excuse for this week.
Well, Jimmy, as an esteemed public address announcer, my secret weapon for a situation like that is hot tea with honey and lemon.
That seems to be the broadcaster's way to treat this stuff. So
that's right. I'll deal with that.
That's my excuse for this week. If the energy level isn't there, I'm going to try my best and battle through it.
We'll carry it.
So the Saudi Arabia thing. About noontime on Sunday, WWE removed their Saudi Arabia event named Crown Jewel from the WWE.com calendar. And it caused a little social media chaos on Sunday. Our friends, the New Age Insiders, said that WWE was going to cancel the show. They're trying to figure out the wording of it, and that's why it hasn't been canceled yet. That was the New Age Insiders reporting. It's more of a paraphrase than an actual report. Than an actual quote, I'm sorry. But before we get there, I just want to say, generally, I believe that the wrestling world is supposed to be the toy store. Really, sports is supposed to be the toy store of life. As a general rule in my life, I hate talking about news and political stories with other people, let alone into a microphone where a good number of people can hear my opinions. It's not fun to me. The debate just doesn't interest me to have.
Right.
So now we're in a spot where real-world issues have crossed into the WWE and their upcoming Saudi Arabia show. Did a lot of reading on this over the weekend. And my opinion is WWE is going to run this event, take the money, get out, and hope these issues go away before April. Mm-hmm. Mike, what's your kind of quick thoughts here before I kind of summarize what my reading showed me this weekend?
Yeah, more or less, Jimmy. I mean, like we've said numerous times, not just on this particular podcast, but just the general thing in life that, you know, money is such a powerful thing. And when so much is thrown at you, you can't turn it down. And that's the problem here with all of the resources that Saudi Arabia is giving the WWE here and all of the money for what they want for the show. They're going to go on with this. And do I think it's the right thing to do? I guess, you know, I know I talked to you about this before the start of the show, not making this a political standpoint here, not taking any sides. But it just doesn't, something is off. It doesn't seem like it's the right thing to do. It's a sad situation. What happened to the journalist? There are a lot of question marks on that. But still, I don't think ethically it's the right thing for the WWE to move ahead with it. But they are, like I said, money is such a powerful thing, and it's become a huge situation for Saudi Arabia to get WWE there. They're going to go on with it. So I don't think they should, but it will still happen.
So here's the summary of my reading from over the weekend. For those who don't know, who aren't up to speed with everything, and I'll try to do this in a quick and concise manner. A Saudi journalist and columnist for the Washington Post, who was a critic of the Saudi government, disappeared and is believed to have been killed after entering Saudi Arabia's consulate in Istanbul, Turkey, to obtain paperwork that he needed in order to marry his fiancée. The New York Times reported that Turkish security officials have concluded that this journalist was assassinated, quote, on orders from the highest level of the royal court, unquote. Saudi officials have denied that allegation. WWE issued a statement concerning the suspected murder of this journalist. Quote, we are currently monitoring the situation, unquote. The Independent Journal Review ran an article that quoted senators urging WWE to rethink being a part of this event. Dave Meltzer reported that, quote, there have been backup plans that are being talked about internally if the show doesn't take place, unquote. Another detail from Meltzer, the WWE moved this event from a near 70,000 seat building to about a 25,000 seat venue. I've seen multiple places that tickets for this particular event, Crown Jewel in Saudi Arabia, aren't even on sale. WWE is proceeding with Raw right now and promoting the event. As I mentioned, our friends from the New Age Insiders say that this event isn't going to take place, and they're trying to figure out the wording of how to get out of it. Wow. One other kind of note is, and that's a paraphrase, that's not an exact quote, so if I misworded it, it's my fault, it's not theirs. The parent company of UFC pulled out of its $400 million deal with the Saudi government. The government had made a deal to invest $400 million for a stake in UFC. The Hollywood Reporter had a story saying that the paperwork is being drawn up for their parent company, Endeavor, I believe is how it's pronounced, to terminate that deal.
Correct.
So, Mike, with all that information, what do you think?
You know what, Jimmy? I know it's two totally different things, sort of, but this kind of reminds me a little bit when you talked about, you know, cutting it down from the 70,000 stadium to 20,000 back to WrestleMania 7 during the Iraqi war, when it was supposed to be at the L.A. Coliseum, but with security concerns because of Sergeant Slaughter being for the Iraqi government there with his gimmick, of course, they had to move it indoors to the L.A. Sports Coliseum for security reasons. I don't know, parallel to that right there in that situation. And again, for the WWE to move ahead with this here and to hear another source to say that they're potentially having this canceled altogether, but promoting it, we are now officially 3 weeks away, less than 3 weeks away from the event. You got to get the ball rolling on this sooner than later. Let everyone know if it's going to happen or not. And we're not talking a rinky-dink house show here. This is some big star power that's going over. So if they're going to pull the trigger on this and cancel it, they better do it by the end of the week. And I think with SmackDown 1000 on the horizon, that's a show of celebration. I don't think they want to take anything away from that. If and when they do decide to pull the plug on this, there'll be a formal announcement by the end of the week. And I think that would be the perfect move for the WWE to make everyone happy here. However, though, Jimmy, you know that they have been in discussion with top government officials from the United States. That is a gimme. There's a reason why they're having that, because Vince McMahon's wife, if you haven't heard, Linda McMahon, is on the presidential cabinet for President Trump. She's the Secretary of Small Business. And Vince, of course, is very good friends with the president. If they are to move ahead with this, there's going to be a good security and they'll figure out a PR way. But I don't think it's the best move in the interest of the company and for fans' sake down the line.
So I understand that cultures are different. And by no means am I justifying what might have happened in another country or in another consulate in a different culture. Like, that's not for me to say here or there. But I guess my question is, can the WWE really be okay with taking their money for the next 10 years? We had issues with women not being allowed on the last show, and now we have this situation. $20 million or $45 million or $50 million is a lot of money for one or two shows, but who can really feel good about taking it? And right. Maybe I do. I still think that WWE's goal is get in, get out, take the money, and hope this all goes away. Maybe their thinking is this is just another bump in the road and people will forget about it.
Right.
Am I going to stop watching WWE because of this? No.
Right.
Am I not going to watch Crown Jewel because the broadcast is from Saudi Arabia? Of course I'm going to watch it. Mm-hmm. I mean, real talk here. I'm doing an appearance with WWE and Seth Rollins on Sunday. And then you and I are going to the TD Garden show, and we're doing their VIP experience. So Sunday is really a full day of WWE for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm getting a check from WWE, and I don't feel dirty about it. Does it compromise me? Of course it does.
Right.
But the big issue here for WWE is that it's $40 or $50 million on the line for this show. And this is a big-time business decision for them. It feels to me like they want somebody else to pull the plug on the show for them. And for me, I look at it as they have enough money short and long term, and 40, 50, 20 million dollars for one show is stupid money.
Right.
So it leads me to think that they're still going to do the show and you're going to see them try to make it go away. So I guess that leads me to this is, if WWE cancels the show, what can they do? And it's they could add another show to their England tour. So they push, or they can push everything back to Survivor Series.
Right.
But WWE isn't getting $50 million for Survivor Series.
No.
But they can also afford to pay Brock Lesnar and Shawn Michaels and Undertaker, whomever else they've overpaid for the international show. So it's not a matter of their money. They're being strapped for cash. Like, they have plenty of cash.
Mm-hmm.
I did a little digging as I was reading up on this stuff, and the vibe that I've gotten from those that I've interacted with is that the wrestlers don't want to go. The office wants to go, and the sponsors have a stake in this. And what I mean by that is sponsor X has already been paid for their involvement in the show. So there won't be a situation where the WrestleMania Battle Royal has a name change because one of the sponsors is upset and it needs to be changed. The sponsors, it feels like they're bought and paid for already.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I think WWE needs somebody else to step in and say, you can't do this show, that they won't make that decision.
Yeah, and that sounds right. You know, there's too much, again, to my initial point with the money being out there, and they're too afraid to pull the plug on this themselves. You're right. They will need someone else. I mean, even a rebel from the fans. I mean, Jimmy, I shared with you an email that we got from a loyal listener, TJ, who sent us a note saying, trying to get a whole campaign here of fans to cancel the WWE Network. Because they're going on with the show here, they're going to need.
But Mike, the thing is that fans have done this before, and
I'm sure
Stephanie McMahon wanted to point out that the WWE Universe spoken about the Battle Royal name change,
right?
But what it came down to was it was a sponsor who jumped in and goes, "What's up with this?"
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only reason why they changed it. It wasn't because the fans demanded it.
It's the public relation.
In the same way that they're crediting the fans with the WWE Women's Evolution and Give Divas a Chance. It was because they found the right group of women to go forward with making it more athletic. And it was also because the UFC had success with Ronda Rousey main eventing women's shows. I just did the research because Ronda and Nikki Bella had a tremendous back and forth on promos, and Ronda Rousey drew multiple million-dollar pay-per-view buy rates. So right. They saw the money in athletic women, and so they went for it.
If the money is going to be there from the sponsors, and the sponsors, you know, have a problem with this going forward, then they're going to have to be the ones that make the call on it. It's not going to be the WWE that's going to do that, because they're ready to go. They don't care about the wrestlers not wanting to go. There's too much money involved here. So, yes, it will have to be someone as powerful as a sponsor to pull out of this. Who was the main sponsor for this, by the way?
I couldn't tell you off the top of my hand. I could Google it, but I'm not interested in Googling it.
I'll check it up.
I'm just not interested in Googling it, and it doesn't matter, but if the sponsors have already been paid off, then they've got to go through a bigger process, and that's where, like, if they are going to cancel the event, it's going to be the end of the week, because they've got TV to get through and things of that sort. It just, to me, it seems like a really easy cancel to make. Mm-hmm. PR...
Tickets haven't
been put on sale yet, things like that.
Right. And it doesn't look like, I can't find who it is, the main sponsor for this right now. But if someone does know it, go ahead, tweet it at us at WrestleCast95. I can't find it because maybe they've hidden it, you know, to this point.
Maybe they took that off their website too.
Exactly. Yeah, I bet they did, you know. So it just like, yeah, back to what I was saying, I'm sure there will be protests from the fans, but it all comes down to the almighty dollar, the dead president. There's so much power here in that situation. And for the WWE to take that money over time, like you were saying, over the next 10 years, do you feel comfortable with that? I mean, if that's going to help them grow their bank account, they don't care. Of course they will. They have no issue with that.
Well, and they've got $2 billion coming from two TV stations over the next 5 years.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're broke. It's not like they are ECW, and if they don't take the payday, they're out of business.
Right. You know, and you know, I saw an interview with Chris Jericho over the last couple of days of, you know, his initial invitation to Saudi Arabia for the Greatest Royal Rumble. And then, you know, being pulled out for that match against The Undertaker in the casket match, and then changing it to Rusev. But Jericho said that it was the highest amount of money he would ever have been paid in his life. So there is so much cash for this situation right here, Jimmy. And, you know, the reason why he was pulled out, I don't know if you saw this interview or whatever, read up on it, but he said it was because the... I believe it was someone from the royal family of Saudi Arabia wanted Rusev to
See this.
Yeah, he wanted Rusev to be in the... I'll send you the link. I'll actually tweet it out too. It's a good one. In the match against Undertaker and not Chris Jericho. And Jimmy, because of the guy, the family of the Saudi Arabian royal family there, they're the ones who's dishing out all the money. They got the power to control it. And Vince is like, sorry, Chris, I got to put Rusev in against The Undertaker, because Jericho and The Taker were talking. They're like, oh, I'm really excited to be working with you. And then all of a sudden, like a week or two before, yep, it's Rusev. So when situations like that occur with all of that power, then they can do what they want.
Well, and we talked about in last week's episode or the episode before, we talked about it recently, about the Prince of Saudi Arabia paying $20 million just to see The Rock walk into his building as the WWE champion or the WWE Universal champion, because he wants to see The Rock versus Roman Reigns, which is wild to me. But again, it goes back to, can we start GoFundMe pages for wrestlers that we want, and we can kind of pay for where they go and what push they get and what they do for TV time? I mean, is that what we're doing now?
Right, exactly. It's really amazing. So... all of this power here, and the show is going on as of now, but if it is to be canceled, that will be announced by the end of the week, no doubt.
Mike, you want to go back to the toy store?
I think that's a good idea, don't you?
Next, we'll go back to the toy store, and we'll talk about SmackDown 1000.
Hey, it's me, the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, WWE Hall of Famer. And when I'm in Boston, man, I listen to Inside the Ropes. It's unbelievable, baby.
SmackDown hits its 1,000th episode this week. Mike, we had dinner the other night at Kowloon, and we found out that we share the same number one favorite SmackDown moment because we're both there. So I'll let you tell the people what one of our favorite SmackDown moments of all time is.
Sure. This is July the 2nd, 2002. That was the date of the event, but it aired on July the 4th, 2002. This is when SmackDown, of course, was on Thursday nights at the TD Garden, then the Fleet Center, when Hulk Hogan, he was in a tag team with Edge. And I'll tell you, Jimmy, that was right after the brand split, right? Right after the brand split there in 2002. So Hogan was on SmackDown and Edge was there as well. But they won the tag team championships. And why don't you tell them who they beat, Jimmy?
Billy and Chuck.
There you go. At the Fleet Center. And it was one of the loudest pops.
When Hulk Hogan came out to Real American, the place went nuts. And there were American flags everywhere. And Boston has always supported Hulk Hogan quite well. If you look at his last match in WWF, it was SummerSlam. It was when he beat Randy Orton. And Hogan posed for what seemed like 20 minutes. But that Boston crowd for that SummerSlam match and for the SmackDown match on the 4th of July when he won the tag team titles, they were all for Hulk Hogan on that night.
Yeah,
one of the cooler moments of my live event viewing was seeing Hulk Hogan win a championship, especially with Edge, who is one of my favorite wrestlers. Mm-hmm. Do you know what else was on that show that was actually really good?
Let's see. Was it Undertaker Kurt Angle?
Undertaker versus Kurt Angle. They had a double finish.
Yep.
Undertaker tapped out while Kurt Angle was being pinned by him.
Right.
Taker was the WWE champion. He was going for his powerbomb last ride finish. Angle brought him down in a triangle choke, and Taker tapped out while pinning Kurt Angle. Now, Taz was great in talking about how if Taker tapped out, that should be, and this is my terms, not his terms,
right,
the higher on the poker chart win. You know how poker has these charts?
Oh, of course.
And the higher suit wins?
Right.
So if a wrestler taps out, said wrestler is saying he was beaten by a better man.
Yeah, and that's pretty darn good. So, and they had to do it twice, remember?
The timing was off live, so they had to retape the shot after the Fleet Center TD Garden emptied out.
Right, and I was like, what the hell is going on here? Why are they doing this again? And we actually stuck around for that match, and I was so tired, and I was like, ready to get out of there. But I'm like, I got to see this. What's going to happen? Because it was awesome. Another
You stayed after they cleared out the building.
Sure did. They asked us to stay because my seat was we're in the loge, but we're kind of facing the entrance. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And we're low enough where they came around and said, could you please stay in your seat? And actually, they gave us a coupon for the shop zone or whatever. It's like 20% off. So thank you for sticking around. So use that at a later time.
Do you remember what you bought with that 20% coupon?
I think I bought an Undertaker shirt.
Of course
remember.
You did.
Yeah. No, but I bought a Hogan shirt that night at the Garden. I think it was an Undertaker shirt, though. Yeah, I can't remember. So, did you stick around for it too?
I did not, because I did not get that invitation.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. So, yeah, they had to do it again, and I was one of the few in there at the time. But I will say too, if I may add a 1A favorite moment, just popped in my head.
Well, I want to mention before we move on to our next favorite moment, this was also John Cena's second match on SmackDown.
Oh, right. This is when he was just starting.
This was, he smacked the taste out of Jericho's mouth on a pre-tape.
Mm-hmm.
And a detail about this match, Jericho beat Cena. And Jericho's been doing great work for a long time, but Jericho cheated to win that match. Mm-hmm. Think about how evil that is. Chris Jericho had to cheat to beat a WWE wrestler a WWE rookie on SmackDown. He cheated to beat John Cena. That's so brilliant as being a villain. So good for Chris Jericho.
Yeah. And, you know, like, I think maybe the ultimate Chris Jericho heel for me that moment there was when he punched Shawn Michaels' wife in the face at SummerSlam. I want to say it was 06 or 05.
Busted the lip.
Like
busted her lip.
Exactly. So that was like the ultimate one there. But that is a great heel moment. But one other SmackDown moment popped into my head in a Boston one, too. It was really cool. This is right after the Red Sox lost to the Yankees in the 99 ALCS. So, you know, Red Sox are really hot here around that time, and the rival was starting to really amp up, and we were really disappointed about that. But sitting in the front row, December the 7th, 1999, was Nomar Garciaparra. And The Rock came out. Rock's doing – he's fighting in a match, obviously, but before he did a great promo. And he introduced Nomar to the crowd there. Huge pop. Huge pop. And everybody, what do you think they started chanting? Yankees suck. Yankees suck. Because The Rock got him there. And it was awesome. When Nomar was kind of, this was obviously before Tom Brady, at the height almost of Tom Brady in 1999. So pretty darn good. Two good moments there for SmackDown in Boston, 2002 and then 1999.
I like John Valentin better.
I love Valentin. Number 13.
I hated Nomar. I know.
At the end, I hated him. At the end.
No, I didn't like him when he was coming up.
Ooh, good side story here.
So my other SmackDown moments that jumped out at me was Vince McMahon winning the WWE Championship in Las Vegas, of all places. Mm-hmm. Edge cashing in on The Undertaker happened on SmackDown. He cashed in his Money in the Bank after he had won it from Mr. Kennedy. Paul Heyman had a amazing promo on Vince McMahon before the Survivor Series pay-per-view, which ended the Alliance versus WWF angle. And TLC 3, which was on a SmackDown, I think it was 01, where they had a four-team tables, ladders, and chairs tag team match. So those are kind of my favorite SmackDown moments that came to mind.
I have a couple more, if you don't mind, too.
Sure.
Obviously, the first ever...
I saw you Googling.
No. Obviously, the first ever one, first ever major event after September 11th, which was supposed to be on 9/11 in Houston, but it happened 2 days after and on September 13th. Very emotional for obvious reasons. That was awesome to see everyone rally together for that. And just come together as a country and, you know, get our mind off of things. There was a great match, too, between Brock Lesnar and Kurt Angle. It was an Iron Man match.
The Iron Man match, yep. I remember it very well.
Yeah, what was the year on that? I can't remember. Was it 2005 or 06? I don't know. But Brock beat Kurt Angle to win the WWE Championship, and that was awesome. And then a very important one, too, Jimmy. It happened right here in Worcester, Massachusetts, 2016, July 2016. The draft that began this official split to where we are today for the current WWE, what we see in the product week in, week out for your rosters. And that was the beginning of this new brand and new evolution, if you will, for so much of what you see today right here in Worcester, July 2016.
And, of course, within a year later, they did another draft, trade, whatever it was. And, of course, Charlotte went from Raw to SmackDown, and SmackDown has been the perfect show ever since.
Yeah, I agree. It's been pretty good since she got there. And I love SmackDown. Much better. I think it's a better show than Raw currently.
Yeah, I think it's because it's 2 hours and it's concise and it's to the point and doesn't feel like, I mean, they did Dean and Dolph in a match. They did Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre in a match. And now they've trotted out the Shield to take on McIntyre, Dolph Ziggler, and Braun Strowman in the main event. When, by the way, I appreciate people doing double duty, but you should do more than just that.
Oh, totally.
And especially since it's a recycled pay-per-view main event that you're now giving away on free television, but that was a time, that was another era. So, of course, WWE did a list. They did another list, right?
Yeah.
It's the top stars on SmackDown. This is something that we were going to do our last episode, but we rambled on for too long, and so now we're paying off that tease. So they went, their list is 15 deep. I didn't go 15 deep, but here's WWE's list of SmackDown, top stars on SmackDown. They may have phrased it differently. I don't know how they phrased it.
And this is 15 through 1, right?
This is, I'm going to go, I can go from the bottom up. Okay. Let me give the list, and then we can dump on it, and then we can give our list. Let's do that.
Okay, I'm not going to go 15. I may go 5, but go ahead.
I went as far as 10, but we don't have to go that far. That's sure. not an
yeah, whatever.
Issue.
No worries.
Number 15, Michelle McCool. Yeah. Number 14, JBL. Number 13, John Cena. Number 12 is Randy Orton. Number 11 is Becky Lynch. Number 10 is Rey Mysterio. Number 9, The New Day. Number 8, The Usos. Number 7, Kurt Angle. Number 6, Batista. Number 5, Eddie Guerrero. Number 4 is Edge. Number 3 is AJ Styles. Number 2 is The Undertaker. And number 1 is The Rock.
Hmm. Okay.
So,
well, where do you want to start? I got a lot to talk about this.
I'm going to start, and I'm going to tell you what my top five are.
All right.
Number 5 is The Undertaker. Number 4 is John Cena. Number 3 is CM Punk. Number 2 is Edge. And number 1 is The Rock. So The Rock is number 1 because it's his show. Mm-hmm. It was named after him. Number 2 is Edge. And number 3 is CM Punk because if Edge and CM Punk aren't on SmackDown, they don't become the main event stars that they ultimately became because they were pretty much left alone and they got over on their own. Edge was phenomenal with the stuff with Vicky Guerrero, CM Punk with the Straight Edge Society, turning into what later transferred him to Raw after his Money in the Bank win. That was good stuff. The Straight Edge Society stuff is some of my favorite SmackDown stuff that there was. Mm-hmm. John Cena is my number 4 performer because John Cena got an opportunity to be the rap guy, and he got an opportunity to perform as a lead superstar, which ultimately led to his success on Raw. And number 5 for me is The Undertaker because it's The Undertaker, and he should be in that top 5, but I don't put him as high as WWE does. They put him at 2. I put him at 5 because The Undertaker was established well before SmackDown really became a thing. But for The Undertaker's run on SmackDown, he deserves top 5 status.
You're not going to believe this, Jimmy, but that's not that order, but those same superstars were also in my top 5 too. Not that, so I'm not being redundant here to what you said. My number one, though, I mean, again, I know you just said you put the Taker as 5. He was actually my number one. And the only reason I put him as number one was because, yes, he was well-established before, but he was the guy that, you know, while you had guys like a Triple H on Raw, you know, making his run as a heel and the champion for the World Heavyweight title there. You had The Undertaker, pretty good rivals here on SmackDown, trying to put some guys over. And he had a really good rival, I thought, for a while with Randy Orton. You know, Mr. Kennedy for a while. Who was the other one? Heidenreich, JBL.
The Brock Lesnar Undertaker feud was really good. That was all SmackDown.
Yep, Lesnar, Taker. I just thought he carried the torch there. He was the draw. He was the draw on SmackDown, and he continued that up until, you know, he came back at the Survivor Series 2016 when he said Team Blue has been my home, and he made it very clear. Like, he has kind of been that guy that carried the flag. And I know The Rock, the show's named after him, so I put The Rock number 2. You and I are spot on with CM Punk number 3. Because without him on SmackDown, he doesn't get that chance there to be a main event guy. I put Edge number 4. Again, great, pretty good matches with The Undertaker on SmackDown for that matter. And that's where he cashed in on him there for the Money in the Bank. And John Cena, that's where he started the rap stuff. You know, he was wearing visiting team uniforms at opposing cities to get people pissed off. Good heel stuff. Unbelievable on the microphone. So you got to put Cena top five, and that's where he lands right there for me for my top five in SmackDown. Now, some other guys I had trouble. Are you going to go top 10? Because I'll give you mine, the rest of mine.
I mean, there are mentions that you can slot any of these guys, I feel like, in that 15 to 6 range.
Yeah, and that's why I got a problem with this list, Jimmy, the 15. Who the hell has a top 15? Do we really have to have a 15? You do top 10,
well,
okay?
I always feel like you either do a top 10 or you do a top 25 or a top 30.
Yeah,
like again, I don't know why they just stopped at 15.
It's a trophy generation. They wanted to get everyone in there, but it's you don't do 15. You're right. 25 be nice. But
top 20 is fine. 25 is fine. 15 is just like random.
Weird number. Don't like it. So, I also had, you know, Rey Mysterio in there, Eddie Guerrero, Brock Lesnar, Batista, Kurt Angle. JBL, those are some other guys I think of when I think of SmackDown.
And AJ Styles is on my list. Dean Ambrose is on my list. Alexa Bliss is on my list. JBL is on my list. Daniel Bryan is on my list. Mm-hmm. And if there isn't SmackDown with a brand extension, and this is why SmackDown was so important, is so important, with the brand split. Matt Hardy doesn't get to do the shocker every week on WWE TV as version 2.0 with Windows Media Player. AJ Styles and Dean Ambrose likely never get to be the WWE champion.
Right.
Alexa Bliss probably doesn't get as much time as she ended up getting. Becky Lynch, who right now is on the upswing of being the casual fan star as the women's champion, she doesn't get that first run, and they probably don't get Charlotte and Becky probably don't get the same focus that they're getting right now. So the brand split and SmackDown particularly are just important to the development of all of these WWE superstars. I mean, I could have done without the JBL year-long title reign, which Paul Heyman famously said just because Triple H didn't want to work Tuesdays.
Right.
But there's a lot of good. Eddie Guerrero probably doesn't become the WWE champion if there isn't a roster extension, if there isn't a SmackDown.
Right.
Just SmackDown was very important. And, you know, back to the list, all these names are probably should be on the list, maybe not in that order, but I can't have a list of SmackDown and not have Edge and CM Punk as 2 and 3 on it because of what that show meant to those performers getting to the next level.
Going back to when the WWF purchased the WCW in 2002, the whole backstory on it was, you know, SmackDown to be the main show for WWF, and Raw was going to be for WCW superstars. But again, the whole brand split and the draft and everything, kind of implementing that, bringing them all together. It's really interesting how I know the show's younger than Raw, and Raw has been known as the flagship for WWE as programming for a while. But for that to get in the same respect as Raw over time and even become a better show, in my opinion, today, that says a lot for the whole way it has come. And look at the whole evolution of SmackDown. I absolutely love it.
Well, and one of the little known facts is that Bruce Pritchard on the Something to Wrestle podcast talked about how SmackDown was almost going to be an entirely women's show.
Oh, right. Correct.
And Vince is like, nope, we're on broadcast TV. We're going to go with everybody and all the stars. But SmackDown's important. They celebrate 1,000 this week, and the brand extension again. It's good for everybody. The more it's TV awesome. Time, the more star development, all that stuff.
Love it. Love it, love it. So I'm looking forward to seeing SmackDown 1000, Jimmy.
So I know Sunday is a big day for both of us. You'll be at Something to Wrestle at Kowloon, yes. Which is now sold out. I will be hosting an event with WWE superstar Seth Rollins in Somerville, Mass. We'll be at the Xfinity store by Comcast. It's located at 145 Middlesex Avenue from noon to 2 p.m. Seth will be signing autographs, taking photos with all of you. Autographs are first come, first serve. Sports Hub, I'll be there with Street Teamers. I think I'm going to have some stuff to give away.
Oh, all right.
We're working on a... I don't want to be that guy who says, oh, I'm going to have this to give away and not be able to give it away. But we're working on something big to give away.
Oh, this event. All right.
And hopefully it comes through. It's not. It's above my pay grade.
Okay.
But it's going to be... If it works out, it's going to be something really cool. If not, it's going to be basically leftover stuff that I have in my basement that I'm willing to give away.
Okay. All right.
We'll both be attending the WWE show at TD Garden this Sunday. We'll be doing VIP with our friend Billy Smith. I know it'll be a blast. I texted. So I fell down the rabbit hole of Googling random things. So one of the things that I Googled was WWE VIP experience.
Oh, and yeah. Here we go.
I texted Mike when this happened, right?
I watched
the video of a fan who was disappointed in his VIP experience, right?
Yeah.
Which
I can't believe that.
Which is his right. He's 100%. If he's upset with something, that's his right to vent about it.
Of course.
But, so the VIP experience now is you get to be inside the ring barrier. You get to take your photos. You get to walk up the ramp, down the ramp, to the ring. You get to be inside the barricade. You get to touch the rope, touch the turnbuckle, get all the pictures you want. Then you get to go in a room and they bring in wrestlers. And sometimes it's two, sometimes it's three. Sometimes you get... So in our case, we did one and New Day counted as one. So you got all three members of New Day, pictures, autographs, and that was one wrestler. And then Kevin Owens came in, Charlotte came in, and that counts as three meet and greets, even though you've just met five wrestlers, right?
Yeah.
Five superstars, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I got to get my WWE terminology down for Sunday. So this particular fan got to meet Matt Hardy, who we both love.
Yep.
Alexa Bliss, who I respect as a performer. I think she's a great performer. She's not one of my favorites, but she's also not somebody that I just throw to the side and change the channel. I think she's wildly entertaining.
Sure.
And Roman Reigns.
That's... Damn good list.
Right? Like Matt Hardy, Alexa Bliss, who was the women's champion at the time, and Roman Reigns. Now, to me, that's an awesome VIP experience. Oh, yep. And by the way, you get to sit front row for the show, which the main event on this show was John Cena versus Roman Reigns.
And you get to take home a souvenir chair.
Yeah, and you get a swag bag and all that fun stuff.
Yep.
So, to me, that video kind of encapsulates the spoiled WWE fan.
Mm-hmm.
They're not happy with anything that they've just paid this insane amount of money for. And they just want to go, in this case, he did in video form, to some type of social media and just complain about it.
Did he say he wanted to meet by any chance?
It was Braun Strowman, Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Triple H, Vince McMahon, John Cena.
Good luck getting Vince. Good luck, dude. Maybe in your third or fourth lifetime.
So that video angered me.
Yep.
It's his right to be disappointed if it didn't meet his expectations.
Of course.
But to me, that's a really good experience. That's a really good day.
That's a great day. And that's a damn good main event, too, what he saw there with Roman Reigns and John Cena. So that was, what was it, March you said, I think? March of
I believe 20? It was March 3rd of this year. The show was in Chicago.
That's really good.
Yeah.
But this guy is still upset about it. Wow.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty spoiled if you ask me, Jimmy. And, you know, I know there are other people out there that would absolutely kill to have that experience. And that just goes to show you that this guy probably can't be happy if he had a nice steak dinner put in front of him the way he wanted. He'd find a way to complain about it. So that's his loss. And shame on him.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all of the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Boston's Home for Sports. All of our podcasts are also available in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Mike Riley, closing thought?
Yeah, if you're going to the Boston show on Sunday, be sure to look for Jay, Stu, and I. We're going to have a good time. We've got a lot of good people that we know are going to be doing VIP as well. Looking forward to seeing them, hanging out with them. And maybe we'll be somewhere before if we have time. And Jimmy, I'll have to maybe go to the audience to see which belt of mine I should bring, which title to have. And if you do see me, I'll be happy to let you take your photo with it, but you cannot hold it for more than 2 minutes. That's the deal.
So I will tell you that my goal is to be to the fours by 3 o'clock.
Okay.
So if you want, you can buy me a drink there. You can buy me lunch if you want. But my plan is to be at the fours at 3 o'clock. I'll have a surprise for you on Sunday.
Oh, all right.
Hopefully I will have the surprise for you on Sunday.
Okay. Good stuff. Looking forward to it. And if you're headed up to the Bruce Pritchard Show at Kowloon, I'll be there, like Jimmy said. Going to be a good time. Also, Jeopardy Joe Murray from Over Under Podcast, he'll be there too. So, but go and see Jimmy with Seth Rollins in Somerville on Sunday. That's going to be a really good time.
For Mike Riley at Sarge985, our Twitter page is at WrestleCast985. Mm-hmm. You can follow me on Twitter at I am James Stewart. And I don't really have a catchy, gimmicky phrase to close out. So, Mike, take it away.
Yeah, to quote the late, great Bobby Heenan, I'm a legend in this sport. And if you don't believe me, ask me.
Of course, a friend in need is always a pest.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.